Thanks, Katie. It's a pleasure to be here this morning. I just reloaded my talk because I added an extra slide a few minutes ago. Working on nitrogen and cotton for a long time, irrigation. I want to acknowledge my co-authors on this study for drip irrigation, Doug, Pedro, Randy is here. I don't know if Kelly is here or not. The background to give real quickly, in Arizona, central Arizona, cotton acreage has gone down a lot with the collapse of the price support. I think 40 years ago, there was probably at half a million acres of cotton in Arizona. Randy, does that sound about right? It was very high. And it's been really 90, 95, 99% surface irrigation. It's set up for concrete canals, the so-called Central Arizona project from Lake Havasu, that main canal. So we're dependent 80% on Colorado River water and about 20% on ground. There has been, finally, and I've only been there 6 years, left Lubbock in 2010, especially on the Indian communities, a lot more center pivots coming in. Our neighbors, Gila River and Akchin, they don't pay for water. Everybody else pays at least $60 an acre foot. Our unit, the water unit, which used to be the water lab, or now the U.S. Arid Land Agriculture Research Center, there's a water pest and plant unit. We used to work almost exclusively on surface irrigation. Now we're not doing any surface irrigation. Field research, we have a large emphasis on remote sensing and modeling, and Andy and Kelly lead on that. And so just wanted to show you, we worked for several years on the surface overhead sprinkler. Now we're moving back to this drip system. It's a little bit different than in Texas. We have tape 8 inches under the bed. Here's some of our remote sensing platforms where we're using, for my interest, primarily to manage nitrogen. But yesterday I gave a talk at the Ed Barnes workshop on crop coefficient estimation with NDVI. Our basic suite is Crop Circle 470 for reflectance, Apogee IRTs for canopy temperature, Honeywell acoustic height sensors I like real well. Most people are familiar with the electromagnetic spectrum, the peak in green at 550, the near infrared, and how we ratio these. Today I'm going to talk mostly about amber. We found in our Texas research that similar to the Nebraska group in corn with Jim Shepherds, that amber NDVI does not saturate as well as red, as easily as red, for looking at nitrogen. But then we found that this index here, NDRE, was even more sensitive than NDVI amber in seeing nitrogen deficiency very early in the season, where you're looking at basically it's NIR minus edge over NIR plus edge. You're not even using the visible. Okay, well, we'll just, the objectives of this study, this is the first year in the drip. We're looking at yields and use efficiency. Like I started in Texas, a soil test based algorithm which we were developing in Texas with deficit irrigation. We were looking, starting point was a 2 foot soil nitrate test pre-plant. And in Arizona, we go to 3 feet. Looking at urea, ammonium nitrate, end use efficiency, end balances, end recovery efficiency, nitrate leaching, nitrous oxide emissions. Here's the plot layout on this drip field. It's 4 acres. It's not too unlike the one we had in Lubbock that I think Katie and Wayne inherited. It's 15 8-row stations of 330-foot runs, 8 rows, 40-inch. So you can have 5 treatments replicated 3 times. Okay. Zero nitrogen reflectance, soil test, and we were able to have a 70% irrigation as well as the 100% ET replacement, although that turned out to be about a 95 and a 75. And here's the treatments here. We didn't have enough room to do a 75% water level reflectance base. So down here we can see for the basic algorithm that we're developing, expanding, improving on, we have a 4 BL yield goal, pretty ambitious, but not too bad for Arizona. 200-pound N requirement, minus a 3-foot soil nitrate test. The water is only 2 ppm nitrate, credit about 20 pounds there. So what we do on the reflectance base is we start out at half the rate of the soil test, and when the vegetation index measured weekly falls below the soil test reference, then we ramp the rate up of nitrogen to match the soil test. We are using the strip till. We're very excited that, again, when we're moving from surface irrigation in Arizona, where there's a lot of tillage and not a lot of conservation tillage with our overhead sprinkler and our drip, now we have the opportunity to grow this this rye cover crop. This is barley, actually, and do some strip tillage. We switched to a variety 1549. From 1044, the seeding rate planted in April. Between first square and 6 weeks on, about mid-bloom, we did fertigation of this away with these pulsimeter pumps. This is what the field looks like. You can still see pretty good residue in there in the old Hamby rig, which came from Shafter, California, when that closed down. Neutron probe, in each of those plots, we had neutron probes. There's four GPS points for soil sampling and fixed plant sampling, but every other one of those, we have the neutron probes to 7 feet. Very interested in the deep percolation. We do a water balance every week. So the delta soil test, so soil water, minus ET plus irrigation rain gives us deep perk. This is the fertilization history on this one-year drip study so far. And we started here, and our target was 156 pounds of N for the soil test with the credits and the amount of nitrate in the soil. Started out at half the rate, and then very soon we got nitrogen deficiency, not just in the zero plots, but in the reflectance plots. So we ramped up reflectance, so from here on, the rates are actually the same. The injection rates ended up with 141 pounds of N on reflectance and 156 on soil test. You could see how many events there were. We fertigated through here. We started out 2 or 3 days a week irrigating and fertigating. And then after a couple of weeks, we went Monday through Friday. We irrigated 7 days a week, about 10, 11 millimeters. But we didn't want to do that fertigation Saturday, Sunday, so that's where these gaps are. But you can control the irrigation from home. Now, we had a surprise here. It was an unpleasant surprise. Talking to Randy Norton about this many, many times, and to Randy Bowman this morning, we saw squares at the sixth node looked pretty good, had good biomass. I'll show you those yields in a minute. But when at the end of the day, we didn't have any bowls below 10th node. So we did have leaf drop here. You can see the plant is empty at the bottom. That was a big disappointment. The plant on this 1549 is different, and it was more like an inverted Christmas tree. So it was weird. Normally, with those of you who grow cotton, as you know, you get most of the yield on the bottom third of the plant. There's the harvesting. We did yield mapping with Pedro down the whole 350-foot run. And with the two-row stripper, we did harvest on 20-foot lengths centered on those GPS points. Here is the NDVI data for amber. And you can see the asterisks mean that we're getting deficiency. If I could find this cursor. Lost my cursor. Anyway, the three dots show where you had deficiency with respect to 100% reflectance versus soil test. Those two lower lines are the low water, 70%, 75% irrigation. Typical curve, And if we go to red NDVI, we usually max out at about 8,500s, max out about 8,000s on that. Here's the petiol nitrate. Petiol nitrate, we get different data. We've been doing this with Randy the last 4 years to revise the petiol recommendations for Arizona. And we usually get 20 to 30,000 ppm at the get-go. But with the drip irrigation, now my cursor's working, we're starting pretty low at 8,000 here at First Square. It does ramp up as we're doing our spoon-feeding fertigation. It does crash very rapidly. We still feel like could downwardly revise these. So at mid-bloom, in other words, if you're in mid-bloom, you're at about 10,000 or 8,000. That should be deficient, but we don't think it is. We don't think we're hurting our yield there. We do canopy height with a Honeywell. A very rapid response, a $400 blue sensor. We've tried a lot of height sensors. This one works really well, very fast response. It is $400, isn't much money. It takes 24 volts. And you can see the data very much mimics the NDVI data. Canopy temperature, I hope James Mahon's here. We got this level 2 heat stress, but we do like to subtract the canopy temperature, subtract the air temperature, so you get negative numbers in here if things are going good. If you're getting above air temperature, that right there is a stressed 75% irrigation, no nitrogen. We do get protection with nitrogen fertilizer. In other words, if you look at 75% irrigation here, the these doohickeys, you could see that it's still generally below air temperature, so you get a lot of protection with 156 pounds of N, even though you're deficit irrigating. We look at N2O emissions. We started this work a long time ago, but in Texas we did it. And the exciting news about drip irrigation is it's a very, very climate-friendly system in that the emissions are very low, and there's no difference between zero and fertilizing. When you're fertilizing just 1 or 2 pounds of N per day, they talk about emission factors. The IPCC says, well, for the most part, agronomic crops, corn, wheat, cotton, is 1% of your added N is going to be let off as N2O. I rarely see more than 0.5% N. But under this drip, by golly, the emission factor is zero. Here is some of our data now for biomass. We got very high biomass under the drip. With the full nitrogen and the 100% water, we got 13,000 pounds. We normally don't get more than 10. And N uptake, about 186 pounds. Recovery efficiency, very high, as we got in Lubbock, Texas, 80%. The yields, though, were a lot lower than I expected. It's kind of embarrassing. I haven't gotten less than 1,700 pounds of lint yield in the last 5 years. And so there was a lot of heat stress. The internal use efficiency, a little high. It's normally we get 40 to 50 pounds, similar to Lubbock. Now, we look at this water balance here. I've got a minute and a half on the clock. So we did get a little bit of deep perk. I didn't expect to get any deep perk over here, 5-6% deep perk below 180 centimeters or 7 feet. Under our sprinklers, we're not getting any deep perk. And under our surface, if you saw my workshop talk Wednesday morning, as high as 20%. And in the seasonal N2O, this is in grams, very small, about 80 to 100 per acre, per the season. And normally we're getting 500, 800, sometimes as much as 1,000 grams of N2O per acre. So it's never agronomic. It's all about greenhouse gas forcing. And normally, if you're under our systems of the surface and the sprinkler, we're getting about a 5-fold increase with fertilizer. So in summary, we were able to save 15 pounds of N, which isn't much, but we saved 15 pounds of N with reflectance base without hurting yields, getting those 14, 50-pound yields. We got N deficiency very rapidly. The yields were lower, recovery efficiency was high, deep perk was a little bit higher than we expected, and the N2O emissions were nice and low. And so we're going to continue this work and try to figure out how to beat the heat stress, which really surprised me under drip. One thing we learned halfway through the season is I had to irrigate for 6 hours between 11 and 5, and I realized, well, if I do it between 8 and 2, I don't get any wilting. I'd get a little bit of wilting in the beginning of the day, in the middle of the season, if I waited till 11 o'clock to irrigate. And we tried irrigating at night early on. People have asked me why not irrigate at night. And that's probably better, but we'd like to do that fertigation. So I don't know if I have time for questions. I think I used up all my time.
We can take questions for your second talk.
No, well, there's not really a second talk. There was something. I don't know why my talk got listed twice.
Okay.
But we can. Yes, Michelle. Chambers. 1 liter Braun Marie chambers vented. It's about yay wide, so we'd put it on the side of the bed, not on top of the tape, but on the side of the bed, and the tape is right underneath the bed. And so that's what we did, kind of the side near the bottom of the bed. We did an incubation period of 24 minutes. We took samples at 0, 12, and 24. We also have TDR and temperature. Yeah, yes. Arlene. I'm sorry, speak a little louder. End of the season. We started N2O emissions a couple weeks before fertilization, and we went all the way till first open bowl. I think we even went a week or so after irrigating. So it's pretty long season of N2O emissions.